But of course, this has got very little to do with any genuine approach to insight. It's the confusion of the Four Noble Truths as doctrine rather than as just a particular application of conditioned co-production. So it's like the cessation of suffering is like the Dharma packaged so as to attract those in pain. It's a method. It's the banner headline that draws us in. So, I mean, I can split from our experience of suffering in just like all sorts of small ways. You know, it's just small things that get you. It's like somebody says to me, "Hey, Manjka, you're looking a bit down. Are you all right?" You know, which is quite nice. And I'll usually just go, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I just sort of shrug my shoulders and walk away and mumble something about being tired, you know, because I find it threatening. I don't want to acknowledge to myself or to anyone else that I am suffering. And acting in this way, I am in denial. So, denial. Denial arises to the degree that we become identified with the calm, spacious, contented mental states aimed at in samatha practice. So what do I mean by identified with? I mean that when we form an identity around certain states, i.e. calm, spacious states, I'm suggesting, we forget that they're only part of our experience. We want them to be all of our experience, and so we create an identity around that experience, that content of awareness. Maybe we don't forget the other angry, anxious, lonely mental states. I mean, they come along soon enough despite our efforts. But our identification with samatha states means our response to these troubling states will be variously intolerant, non-accepting, fearful. They'll challenge our self-view, our identity, our fixed identity. And if we fall into this, which I have done, calm, spacious states get more value and are seen to be more spiritual than troubled, anxious, angry states. Such troubling states are to be got away from at all costs, rather than understood to be as equally empty as any other mental state. So splitting off from these unacceptable aspects and the tension they create, we cling to the identification of being calm, generous, purposeful and kind. And this is the formation of a spiritual identity. It's a false self. It's like a Buddhist persona that we adopt and we present to ourselves and to the world so as to avoid our pain. And hey presto, we're attempting to become what we should be merely by closing our eyes to what we are. Because as well as being calm, generous, purposeful and kind, which I was also freaked out, selfish, lazy and bitchy. So what happens? We form an identity, a spiritual identity, and this will mean, in effect, the adoption of particular lifestyle choices, rules, habits, ways of being that support the maintenance of what we like about ourselves, which is now, because we're Buddhists, become spiritualized and even the faking of what we should be. So a couple of examples. So let's say I'm uncomfortable with anger, which I am. So I'll adopt an identity that is harmonious, conciliatory, differential, anything to avoid conflict. I may also tend towards being very generous and helpful, inspired as I am by the ideal of selflessness. However, to the degree that I am generous and conciliatory out of a need to gain the approval of others, you lot, and feel worthwhile and needed, then I am confusing a codependent version of self-negation with true selflessness. Burnout will eventually arise, perhaps followed by blame. What I need to do, if this is what I'm about, is learn to love myself, which will then allow me to say no and stop being a doormat. That's one thing that can happen. Did happen. Another thing that can happen, feeling shame at wanting affection and love, as I do, I may adopt an identity that is aloof, standoffish, matter of fact. I withdraw because I find you threatening. Dependency and neediness are my worst fear, and I'm attracted by the heroic ideal. I want to be strong, independent, invulnerable. Secretly, I want to be a Jedi. I find it difficult understanding other people's struggles. I don't see why they just can't get on with it. Feelings are like Chinese to me, and I'm most comfortable given a task that I can do by myself. Such an approach is rationalized using teachings of detachment and renunciation. what I need to do really is just become more fully embodied. I need to be more engaged with myself and particularly other people. And this is why friendship is so important and scary. It is what I most desperately want, and yet it is also what I most find threatening. And then you've got your self-development books, which are a popular parody of this scenario, emphasising as they do the self aspect of development and playing into the fantasy that we can do it alone, that we don't actually need to enter into a relationship with others. So both these identities are a distortion of an attempt to transcend suffering. And in reality, they're a deepening of a fixed self-view. They're actually a strengthening of the first fetter, rather than a freeing up of consciousness. Freeing up of consciousness from entanglements with form, feelings, personality, conditioning. And it's a use of spiritual practice to shore up a shaky sense of self, or to belittle basic needs and feelings, all in the name of enlightenment. That's what's ironic.